morning. My name is Lindsay Slocum, and I am the lead pastor here at Kairos Church, and I am so delighted you are here. Thank you for being here this morning. Last Sunday, Scott and I were at the beach, and so we took the kids to. Our whole family was at the beach, and we weren't with you, and we woke up, and we were like, what do you think they're doing now? What do you think they're doing now? And at 11:05, Scott was like, how do you think it went? we miss you when we're not with you. And so we're so delighted to be together this morning. If you are our guest this morning, we are so excited that you're here. And I hope that you will scan that QR code and leave an email address, a phone number. We want to continue to welcome you, get to know you. We want to invite you to the Bible studies. We're just looking forward to continuing to be together and growing together. You've heard already that this is Epiphany Sunday, and so we're going to look at the Gospel of Matthew, the story of the Magi coming to visit the toddler Jesus at that point. And so as we turn to the book of Matthew, before we do that, let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for this day, this opportunity to be together, to worship you, Lord, to give thanks for the Christ child. And so, God, we pray now that you would be present, that the words that are read are your words, the words that are spoken are your words, the words that are heard are your words, that you're molding us and shaping us into the people that you desire for us to be. And may this encounter with you be so powerful that we cannot walk away unchanged. In your holy name we pray, amen. So I would invite you then to hear these words from the Gospel of Matthew, from the second chapter. I'll start at verse 1 and read through verse 12. Listen now for the word of the Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You might be familiar with the poet Mary Oliver. And in her poem, Sometimes, she includes instructions for living a life. And they are, pay attention, be astonished, and tell about it. I think that this morning, as we think through Epiphany and what Epiphany is, that's the perfect description of what it is that we are doing today. The word Epiphany means revelation or shining forth. It's a paying attention to that which has been revealed, and it leads us to a place of astonishment. So this morning, we read of the visit of the wise men to the Christ child, of their astonishment, of their worship. And then we continue to tell about it, to tell the story of the day. And we do that by singing things like, "We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star." But I think it's appropriate as we read this and as we sing this song that we're asking ourselves the question, who are these three kings? What makes them significant, and why are they traversing? What's interesting is that the book of Matthew, the words that we just read in the book of Matthew are, wise men from the east came to visit Jerusalem. It doesn't actually use the word three or the word kings. The word three, the idea of there being three of them, that's from tradition, because the scripture mentions that there were three gifts, and so they just say there were three kings. But let's be honest, there might have been like 103. They just couldn't think of anything else to bring, so they all stuck with the three gifts. And the idea that they are kings is also mostly from tradition. It harkens back to some scripture in the Old Testament from the Psalms, where they talk about the kings coming and bringing gifts to the Messiah. And so tradition says that maybe these are kings. Maybe there's three of them. Maybe. It could be. But what we know is that they are wise men who have come from the east. And actually the Greek there is magus, or the plural form is magi. Magi are astronomers, probably Zoroastrian priests from Persia or Babylon. But what we know is they're Gentiles. They're not Jews. So as I am typing this paragraph that I have just spoken to you, as I am typing this, a family member at my house walks by and asks me what I'm working on, and I tell them, oh, we're going to talk about the wise men. And this person says, well, what makes them so wise anyway? And I was like, yes, that's what the sermon can be about. What makes them so wise? It's an excellent question. Because certainly at the time, they're considered wise because they've studied the stars and they seem to understand things about the world that other people might not understand. But with our advanced understanding of science now, we understand more about why things work the way they did. And yet, we still consider them wise. So I think this morning it's a perfectly good question for us to ask, what makes them wise? I think that the words that we get to hear them speak from the Gospel of Matthew are important. They're an important clue for us as we think about what makes them wise. The words that we hear from them are, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his stars in the east and have come to pay him homage." Because they're astronomers, they've seen this star, and the star raises a question from them. And so then the only words that we get to hear directly from the Magi are these questions. The question as they wonder, where is this star taking us? Where is this star leading us? What is it shining forth for us? I love that they just roll into town and ask this question. Here are these people who are supposed to be answerers of questions. They've traveled to this foreign place, and they just decide to pop their heads in the palace to ask this king this question that they don't even know, but it's a massive question. It puts the king on defense immediately because it highlights for him that someone's been born that will take his place, and you know how much people in power love for people to take their place. I have a lot of respect for the Magi, for these travelers, for their ability and courage to ask a question. I'm not really good about asking questions. I don't know why. I don't know if we think that asking a question is going to make us look weak or vulnerable, if somehow acknowledging that we don't have all of the information in the whole world makes us look like less of a human. But I still really hesitate before asking questions. I will tell you now, because we're far enough out, but I will tell you that on my first day of work here, I didn't even ever use the restroom because I didn't want to ask where it was. By the way, it's right across the hall from the office. Like, literally, I couldn't leave the office without seeing it, but I didn't want to ask any questions. I don't like to ask questions. I don't want to feel like I maybe am being silly or redundant or somehow show the world that I'm not enough. I'm actually willing to make the statement that so many of the great tragedies of the world result in the fact that people are too hesitant, are too afraid to ask questions. It's ironic that avoiding the hard just makes things harder. So maybe then, maybe what makes the wise men wise is that they were willing to ask the question. And it's actually an amazing question. They have no idea who they're dealing with when they roll into the palace and start asking about this baby that's gonna be king, that's gonna take over for Herod. It's a bold ask. It's a subversive ask. And I don't even think they realize what it is that they're asking. Herod is awful. He's a jealous human. He loses his mind. And we see he starts scheming and plotting and coming up with this terrible plan. And what I didn't even notice until this week when I was reading is that not only does it say King Herod was frightened, but Matthew tells us that all of Jerusalem with him is frightened. This news of this king, it is overwhelming and terrifying to an entire nation because they don't know what's going on. But the wise men don't know this. And maybe that's better. Because maybe then they would have been too nervous or too intimidated to ask the question. But they are wise, and so they ask the question. Now they ask this question, and what's super fascinating is that as the people who know the Torah, who know the Hebrew scriptures, they're the ones that are able to provide answers. Herod didn't know where the child had been born. The wise men didn't know where the child had been born. It was when they pulled together the chief priests and the scribes, the people who had been studying scripture, they were the ones who were able to pull that verse from the prophet Micah and tell the Magi where they were to go. Y'all, hear me say this. It isn't the people in our passage who knew the answers who were called wise. It was the people who were willing to ask the questions. It wasn't the people who were teaching and directing and telling people where to go and what to do. It was the ones who were bold enough and brave enough to ask the questions, to engage in the journey of seeking. The people who were looking, those are the people who are called wise. And so these questions, they led them on a journey. They're following the star, following the question that started all this. Where then is this child? Where is this star shining forth for us? And so they journeyed. A lot of times, like we talked about with the children, when we're decorating for Christmas and we set out our nativities, we put the Magi right there in the little manger scene next to the shepherd and the camels, and there are our little plastic people with the crowns on their heads. But they weren't there. The Magi weren't there. They wouldn't have been there. They came to the house. And the reason this is important for us to notice is because it means that these Magi had a long and difficult journey to travel. The journey from the east would have taken months just to get to chat with King Herod, and then there was more journeying to be done from there. Jesus was probably a toddler eating a pancake by the time they got there. They endured weather, they endured hardship. We can only imagine the journey that they faced. Journeys take time. Journeys take hard work. That's just how journeys go. Maybe you've read the book Wild by Cheryl Strayed, or maybe saw the movie with Reese Witherspoon. It's about this woman who has had this really ragged story, and she decides to hike the Pacific Crest Trail as a way of dealing with the trauma and the loss that she had endured so much of her life. Now, the fun little piece of the story is that before she begins this hike, she's spent just about as much time outside as I ever have. None. And so as she begins her journey, as she begins this hike on the Pacific Crest Trail, very quickly she begins realizing this is going to be harder than she thought. Early on, within the first few days, she finds herself face to face with a bull. She falls and scrapes up her body. She has to ration her water supply. And so within the first couple of days, she writes about her journey. And she says this: "The thing about hiking the Pacific Crest Trail, the thing that was so profound for me that summer, and yet also, like most things, so very simple, was how few choices I had, and how often I had to do the thing I least wanted to do. How there was no escape or denial, no numbing anything down with a martini or covering it up with adult activities, As I clung to the trees that day, attempting to pack up my bleeding finger, I considered my options. There were only two. I could go back in the direction I had come from, or I could move forward in the direction I intended to go. And so I walked on. It made me think about the wise men, about how difficult the journey must have been, and yet how necessary it felt to travel on in spite of the difficulties they had to have been facing following the star. The courage and the tenacity of these men we call wise. But we know journeys are hard. We feel that. We have our own journeys, and they're hard. Roads are winding and sometimes bumpy. There's moments of heartbreak and heart hurt. Moments when we are tried by the world and moments when we are scared of what lies ahead. There's grief and sadness and sorrow and anxiety. But we also know mixed in, there are times when the road is beautiful and kind to its travelers. Moments of joy when we can't believe that we even get to experience the journey. And so we journey. The wise men's journey especially amazes me because remember that these are not people who recognize themselves to be part of the covenant of God. Remember, I told you, they're definitely not Jewish. And yet they endure all of this in order to pay homage to the King of the Jews. So maybe the courage to do the journey is what makes them wise. To start it, to continue it, to press on, seeking to understand where is the star taking us when they're not really sure. Maybe that's what makes them wise. And then when they get there, the scripture tells us they are overwhelmed with joy. That they kneel, that they pay homage, that they experience this great moment in their lives. And the boldness and vulnerability of asking the questions and the difficulty and the danger of the journey. It's not easy to do the work of being wise, but here they are. The greatness, the truth has been revealed to them, and they have encountered Emmanuel, God with us. But then, and this is the part that we need to hold on to today. The scripture tells us the very last verse is that they go home by another road. Now, on one hand, it's very practical because that they know that when they get back, if they have to walk back by Herod's house, that he's going to ask them questions and this is going to be deadly. And so they got to travel a different way so they don't see him. But on the other hand, the Greek there for another road can also be translated as another way. I wonder if what Matthew is trying to tell us here is that now that they have witnessed Emmanuel, now that they have had this interaction with the Christ child, maybe now that the star is no longer in the sky, it's the light of Christ that leads them. That they are different people who travel a different way because they're different. They see the world differently now. And so do we. Because we had Christmas and we saw the Christ child, we experienced the Christ child being born, and now we too are led by the light of Christ. We can't help but be different people. We love differently and we interact with people differently. We make different decisions about how to spend our time and our money and who we love and how we love them. We see the world differently and we grieve for the things that grieve the Lord's heart. And we diligently pursue love and hope and justice. We're different people who go a different way. And so this morning, as we celebrate Epiphany Sunday, may we be wise enough to ask the hard questions. May we be wise enough to do the difficult journeying. And may we be wise enough to be changed by the encounter, that we would travel differently and faithfully by the light of Christ. May it be so in my life and in yours. Amen.